Father, I truly do thank you for your Holy Spirit that's already here tonight. I thank you for the people, Father God, who are just really excited with what you're going to do for them tonight. And Father God, we just thank you for your angelic host who are here working this sanctuary as we minister your word. And Father, we're sitting tonight at your table and we're getting fresh manna from heaven. And we truly do thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, this is the first day of the revival, and I've been wanting to have a revival for quite some time. And then God told me to have it, and I said, you want me to have it then? But you know, that's just how God is. You get what you ask for, right? In his timing, though, and not in your timing. God started this out. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So let's go to 2 Chronicles 7, 11 through 16. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want to go back to verse 12 where the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. That right there, God just brought that to my attention. He's saying that to you tonight. He's chosen your vessel. All right? He's heard your prayers. And he's chosen you as a vessel to abide in. Now, verse 15 says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Anything you pray now, God is hearing it. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. God is not going to leave you nor forsake you. God's heard your cries. He's bottled up your tears. He's done everything that he's supposed to be doing. And now, he said he's going to be there forever. Be careful what you do. His eye is upon you, watching each and every move. And God said, there has been a line drawn in the sand, and all those who have committed themselves to me, their loving Father, have crossed over this threshold and are standing in the light of glory. Now, remember how many times God has said that I'm drawing a line in the sand and I want you to cross over. If you crossed over, he said, there has been a line drawn in the sand and all those who have committed themselves to me, their loving Father, have crossed over this threshold and are standing in the light of glory. So you're already in the light. You're already in the glory. God said, the next step is for my children to become the light bearers I have called them forth to walk in. The next step is for my children to become the light bearers. This is your next step tonight. He wants you to become those light bearers. So I looked at light bearers up, and it says the term light bearers is used in the Bible to describe people who are shining example of God's loving grace. All right? And Philippians 2:15 says, you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. What did he say? You may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. God said, you don't have to blend in with the world. You shouldn't. He said, you can be there, but not be part of the world. All right, the passage encourages believers to live a life that is pleasing to God and to be a positive influence on those around them. God said, I called you to be a light to a perverse generation. I have called you to shine like the northern star in my vast universe. I have placed the light of my son Jesus within each one of you. So since he said, I called you to be a light to a perverse generation, I've called you to shine like the northern star in my vast universe. I looked that up. So the north is a specific place. That means that the north is a definite location. God's throne is not just above us, it's in the north. The north would be in the direction of the north star Polaris. Polaris sits over the north pole. Polaris is also known as the North Star. In conclusion, a North Star in the Bible can be seen as a symbol of divine guidance, faithfulness, and prophecy. It is a beacon in the night sky guiding the faithful on their spiritual journey, just as it shows travelers on their earthly journeys. Whether you're exploring the heavens through a telescope or on the pages of the Bible, the North Star serves as a reminder of the divine guidance always available to those seeking it. Let's go back to what God said. I called you to be a light to a perverse generation. I have called you to shine like the northern star in my vast universe. And I have placed the light of my son, Jesus, within each one of you. And whenever I looked it up, it talks all about the vast universe and what all God did and everything else. It's really, really enlightening to read what this all means. Do you understand what God is saying to each one of you here tonight? This is a stepping stone into the vastness of God's glory. Now, I just heard him say that, all right. I want you to get down in your spirit tonight that tonight is going to be a changing event for everybody here. You are not going to remain the same as what you have been. We are now escalating into the very height of God's glory. All right, then God says, when you truly know me in all my fullness, you will shine forth as a beacon in a lighthouse to guide the fallen ones to my heavenly throne. What did he say? When you truly know me in all my fullness, you will shine forth as a beacon in a lighthouse to guide the fallen ones to my heavenly throne. God said, when did I ever say, put your light out? Never did I tell you to not shine in the darkness. You are a beacon sitting upon a hill to lead, guide, and direct the feet of the weary ones. Your light should so shine before men that it glorifies the Father. And Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, you know, God called, he told me to have the revival, and he said, he titled it, When the Light Shines. What he's saying is, when the light shines through you and I, then the darkness is going to be expelled. It's you and I that he's dealing, when the light shines. We're all called to be lights, but we don't always let our light shine. Or maybe we just never let the light shine. So you're going to be changed in an instant of an eye, God's eye, and his light, Jesus' light in you, is going to come forth, and that's what's going to dispel the darkness and bring the harvest in. All right, as children of God, being the light of the world, instead of hiding our light, we need to hold it forth before men that they may see what a life the disciples of Christ lead. And some of us aren't very good beacons. All right. Lost my place. As children of God, being the light of the world, instead of hiding our light, we need to hold it forth before men. Why? That they may see what a life the disciples of Christ lead. And as they witness this, may also glorify their Father, redeeming, transforming, and opening to themselves the way to the same redemption and transformation. In other words, as the heathen watch you and see your light shining forth, and they're going to want what you have, and they're going to start seeking God's face until they're transformed into the same light that you are. See, the problem with the church is we're not a good light. And because we're not a good light, we don't draw anyone into the house of God. I've had many people say to me, why would I want to go into the church when I have it better out here than what I see when I go into the church? See, there's no light. It's darkness in the church. God said, mere men do not understand the concept of the heavenly light that shines through my faithful ones. But you, my beloved ones, understand all things to the glory of the Father. Mere men do not understand the concept of the heavenly light that shines through my faithful ones. That's you and I. You know, the world does not understand why we do what we do. And if you truly have a bright light, I'm hearing God, it's going to blind them. And they're going to want to see the truth. It's going to blind them. You know, your light's going to break up that darkness, and they're not going to be able to see because all they were used to was darkness, and they're going to want to come into the light. And I'm hearing God say, the light of His glory. All right? We're not this, you know, the church is not the same as it used to be. All over the world, it is not. Because God is dealing with each church. You're either going to serve me in holiness and righteousness, or I'm going to just walk away from you. And see, what's happened is when God really starts working with people in the house of God and starts convicting them of their sins, they get upset because you don't want to get rid of their sins is one reason. And they blame the pastor or they blame the deacon or whatever, anybody they can blame it on, because they don't want to admit, I've got a sin nature that God's trying to deal with. And so instead of them dealing with it, allowing God to deal with it, they run. Are you listening here? Don't be a runner. You know, sit still and let God change you from glory to glory. But then he goes on to say, but you, my beloved ones, understand all things to the glory of the Father. No, y'all don't. But this is what your Father says about you. All right. God said, you are the ones I am sending forth to spread the gospel of love and peace through the brightness of the glory. Each one of you came out here tonight, you are the ones that God is sending forth to spread the gospel of love and peace through the brightness of the glory. See, it's all about notice it's all about the glory. You know, and God's getting ready to drop the glory. And he's letting you know there's light in that glory. And when it drops, that light is going to dispel all darkness. You know, if you've really seen the spirit realm right now, you can see a big explosion and nothing but light's coming out of that big explosion. Amen. You will have the keys to all things, and you shall walk in the miracle working power of the cross that dispelled all darkness. You know, like Peter, he gave him the keys to the kingdom. And what does God say here? You will have the keys to all things, and you shall walk in the miracle working power of the cross that dispelled all darkness. Did you ever look at the light of the cross like that? You know, that is where the darkness was first scattered. And then the church should have been carrying a light like Jesus did, and we should have been performing signs, wonders, and miracles all the time. But the enemy came in and made the darkness gross darkness. And so many people just couldn't deal with what was going on that they just quit dealing, period. And they just sit and do nothing. All right? We have to do something. You know what? I feel sorry for some of you, and Astra gets up and says, come on, grabs you by the arm, brings you up here, says, what am I going to do up here? You know? And, you know, she's trying to break the darkness. She's trying to get the shackles off your feet. And, this is the same way that God's trying to do with us. He's going to teach us in these 3 days, I think, how bright that light is going to be and how we can be nothing but light. And no darkness whatsoever will be in us. God said, this day I am calling you forth into the newness of the light of the gospel. Your kings and priests sit upon a hill. Did you just hear that? I am calling you forth into the newness of the light of the newness of the light of the gospel. The gospel is going to become so bright to you. You say, how did I ever miss that? You are kings and priests sit upon a hill. In Revelation 5:9 says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Why? Because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. It's right there in the Word. I mean, God spoke it. Everything He speaks, really, if you get into Scripture, you'll find a Scripture that just about repeats exactly word for word what He says in a prophetic word. In 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. He's talking to us. You know, we was out there in all that dark, dark world. We weren't getting any mercy. But once we come into the light, then God's mercy is shed abroad upon us. Then God said, you, my people, are another Tobias. I didn't know who Tobias was. You shall go forth and free up my people. You shall speak liberty, and freedom will reign in the people's lives. How many know who Tobias is? All right, well, I said, okay, God, that's a new name. So I looked up Tobias. Tobias is a character from the book of Tobit, also known as the book of Tobias, which is a Jewish work that describes how God tests the faithful, responds to prayers, and protects the covenant community. Example is the Israelites. And God told me one time, He said, you are Israel. You know, we are the Israel. All right, that book tells a story of two Israelite families, that of the blind Tobiah in Nineveh and of the abandoned Sarah in... Thank you. Tobias is Tobit's son, who is sent to retrieve 10 silver talents that Tobit once left in Rages, a town in Media. Guided and aided by the angel Raphael, he arrives in where he meets Sarah. Now, a demon named Asmodeus has fallen in love with her and kills anyone she intends to marry. Isn't that awesome? When I read that, I thought, yeah, that's what demons do. You know, that a demon will fall in love with you, and then it'll keep everybody else away from you. Okay, but with the aid of Raphael, you know, God's angel, the demon is exorcised and Tobias and Sarah marry, after which they return to Nineveh, where Tobit is cured of his blindness. So what did God say? You, my people, are another Tobias. You shall go forth and free up my people. Isn't that what He did? You shall speak liberty, and freedom will reign in the people's lives. That's what Tobias did. I'm excited. That's a little tidbit we learned tonight, right? Yes. Yeah. Then God goes on to say, you are a light set upon a hill that dispels all darkness at every angle. I thought that was neat. There is nothing your light cannot accomplish. This light is a pure light from the heavenly realm, and the enemy has no place within this light. The enemy has no place within us, but yet we allow him to, don't we? If we're carrying this bright light of God's glory, the enemy has no place in us, as far as I'm concerned, or around about me, right? I'm hearing God say, that's your territory, not the enemy's, around about you and in you. God said, as you lie prostrate before me, I shall brighten your light, and it shall become a weapon of warfare like no other. Now here's another weapon. Children, this is true warfare. This is heavenly kingdom warfare that you have not drawn on before. Remember God told me one time there's so many weapons in the Bible that we don't draw on. Well, here now he's saying we can draw on that this light is another warfare weapon. Isn't that exciting? Well, I'm excited. I thought, wow, I'm going to draw on that light. I never thought about drawing on the light of God. If you did, just keep it to yourself. I don't want you outdoing me here. Amen. All right. Now, God says, in the midst of utter darkness, I have pulled out the ultimate weapon of warfare, which is light. The ultimate. I thought that was exciting. It's our ultimate weapon. Can you just understand? You were going into the glory, and the glory is light. That's the ultimate weapon, and that's why you're going to have signs, wonders, and miracles. All right, the phrase light in the darkness is a common theme throughout the Bible, and it serves as a reminder of God's presence and faithfulness even amid difficult times. For example, the book of Isaiah speaks of a coming Messiah who will be a light for the nations. Isaiah 4:42-6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Are y'all ready for that? I hope so. This is your first night. Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. God said, when you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, pure light is continually flowing through you. This pure light will save nations. It will set the captives free. As you abide in the light, God said, as you abide in the light, you shall be like Peter, and your shadow shall heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and set the captives free. This is the pure light. This pure light will open prison cells and raise the dead. You know, now this isn't just plain light. And isn't just plain glory light, it's pure light, an untainted light from the heavenly realm. Isn't that awesome? Get excited. Make your Santa Claus hat light up. Come on. I don't know about you, but I'm really excited. I'm glad God called this revival. I'm glad he's revealing his light to us and this secret weapon that he's had, and it's been in the Word, but we have not tapped into it yet, but we have tonight. God said, it is this pure light that will transform a darkened society of people who have never known anything except darkness. And I know that every one of you sitting here, you know somebody who doesn't know Jesus at all. And all they've ever known is darkness. And this light that we're going to carry is going to allow people like that to see Jesus Christ living in you as a bright light. And I know that lately when I've been praying for some of you, I tell you, I said, I just see this bright light coming down upon you. And if you're one of them, you ought to be shouting hallelujah. Amen. Because, you know, God's already showed me that some of you are carrying that light. You just don't know you're carrying it, so you're not doing anything with it. Come on, light, get out, get out. You know, touch that person. You know, draw on that light that you're carrying. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing the darkness. All right, John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you're really walking in righteousness and holiness, and you're a light bearer, then John 1:5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In other words, your light is so much brighter than the dark, you know, that's around about you. This is the best time of your life. I think that Sister Marlon's wife, Brenda, I wanted to call you Martha. Sister Brenda, she said to me, she said, I see a big bowl of fruit. And, you know, so God's bringing the fruit of the Spirit out. And, you know, and I said, well, to myself, well, I saw a big box of gifts earlier today. So God is really blessing us right now. You know, he promised us he was going to give us gifts this Christmas. And he's already started today, the 15th, 10 days before Christmas. So I'm believing that each one of you are going to grab hold of this gift of the light tonight and that you're going to seek God's face or receive everything he has for us in these 3 days till you become that bright light that destroys all darkness. And God said, I am calling you forth this day to walk in the pureness of the heavenly light. He makes so many different words in here. He wants us to walk in the pureness of the heavenly light. We haven't even thought about light. I mean, we read it, but we haven't really thought about it. Now we got all kind of light here tonight. And God wants us to walk in this. I know it's being thrust on you quickly, but God said he's going to do everything in the wink of his eye. Suddenly, your lives are going to be changed. So I'm believing that tonight, as you receive this altar call to walk in the pureness of the heavenly light, because God wants us to do that, there's going to be a transformation in you tonight, that whenever you see other people who haven't seen you for a while, they're going to say, what happened to you? You got a little, one little flash eyes. This little light of mine. We need to get one of those great big flashlights that they're selling right now that lights up for 20 miles or something like that. And we just need to carry that around and just keep shining it until I'm the light of of Christ. Amen. I'm opening up the altar for those of you who, like God said, I'm calling you forth this day to walk in the pureness of the heavenly light. God wants to anoint you tonight that you'll be able to walk in the pureness of his heavenly light. And you will no longer walk in darkness, but you will become a light that will dispel the darkness around about you. You know, the enemy has come at us with everything he has. He's tried to kill everybody, just about everybody in here spiritually. It has not worked because he can't kill us spiritually. Tonight, I know he's trembling in hell. He said, that dumb woman got before God. Now she's going to tell him all about this, them all about this weapon. Well, I'm asking you to come forward and receive what God has for you tonight.